And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the NFL playoffs, Scott does a great job. Local broadcaster, radio, TV, also an instructor at the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. He's my good friend Mike Tuck. Mike, how you doing today?
I am good. I am currently out here topless, preparing myself for the frigid, I guess it's not quite as cold here as it is in Kansas City this week. Never mind.
No, that image is in my head now. It's too late. It's too late, my friend. Mike, you're a big Dolphins guy. You're talking about they're going to be taking on the Chiefs this Saturday. Let's go back to Sunday night, though. How disappointing was that loss against the Bills?
You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's disappointing. You know, you come into a season and you hope, for me anyway, and I think for them, I think for most fans, the idea of usurping Buffalo and winning the division this year was out there. They played the season looking like they were going to be able to do that, and then to have it snatched away in the final week, it hurts. It's disappointing. There's no doubt. I'm probably going to be painting a rosier picture than most people would at this hour for the team, but I'm not going to tell you it wasn't disappointing to not win the division.
You enter that fourth quarter, it's 14-7. I think I texted you, all right, one quarter to go. Here we go.
Right.
And then that punt return happened. How devastating was that play to the Miami Dolphins?
It obviously was. And, you know, in thinking about this season and what's transpired, there haven't been many setbacks, right? It's something that I could get used to and having a lot more wins than losses. But in the losses, it seemed like the one play they needed to have, they didn't have. The other team had. And they've had, a handful of those this year, whether it was the Germany game against Kansas City, whether it was this game against Buffalo, the Tennessee Titans loss. Just one play that they needed to break their way didn't break their way. And so, that was the difference in the game. I mean, we can break down a lot of things that happen in the game, but, you know, you give up touchdowns on non-offensive plays, you lose 80% of the time. And, you know, a special teams touchdown there, the defensive touchdown the Chiefs had in Germany, those are the differences.
I will give you the hot take question then, Mike Tuck. You look at Josh Allen. Is he a good quarterback? Great? I don't know. He's all over the place. What is your take?
He is a great quarterback that makes some massive errors at times. That if he gets better at, right, you might be talking about a multiple-time Super Bowl champion. If he doesn't, it's going to be this wild pendulum of, man, you don't want to play him, but he's going to give some games away. I mean, think about the Bills this year. Like, I was reflecting, of course, on Sunday night after the loss, and it's like, man, Buffalo lost to New England. They lost to the Jets. They lost at home to the Broncos. I mean, they have some embarrassing losses on their schedule, and not all his fault. I'm not blaming him specifically on any of those, but there are moments it's just like, what are you doing? Like the interception he had to Eli Apple in the end zone, like it's not there. The Dolphins got you. They like the blitz came, everyone was covered. You throw it in the stands, right? And he tried to make a play, and Gabe Davis wasn't on the same page with him, and it was an easy interception. You just can't make those mistakes. You know, he gave away points. Like, if you're a Bills fan, you're going, we won by a touchdown. And frankly, if he doesn't make some of the errors he has, shoot, they might have won by three touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with Josh Allen, is he's going to win you games. And unfortunately, he's probably going to lose you games. But that's still better than average. And I think we can all recognize he has those great abilities, but the mistakes are going to get you beat.
The one that was so shocking is right before the half, they're right there in field goal range.
Right.
And he throws that pass, and it's short of the end zone, and they get tackled before the end zone, and then that's the half. They can't even get a field goal. I know you saw this. So then they ask McDermott, hey, what'd you think of that play? He's like, you have to throw that in the end zone. Just throws him under the bus, his quarterback. Like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Dude, he's very Brett Favre-ish with how he plays, where he just he'll drive you crazy after a while. That's what it is.
Right. No, that's a good call. There are guys like that historically that, look, I'm a Dolphins fan. Marino had a little bit of that, not to the Favre extent, but like when you look at the league leaders all time in interceptions, is guys like Elway and Marino that made sensational plays, but also did some things where you're like, oh, okay, that worked out. Like you were able to arm strength it in there. And that's, you know, Allen kind of falls into that same category. Big arm. He's going to try to make some plays with his legs and his arm that occasionally he's going to get away with and occasionally he's not.
I made a comment on Monday, and it pains me to say it, but I feel like the Buffalo Bills now own the Dolphins. It used to be the Patriots, and now it's the Bills. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, they have. I mean, there's not even debating the point. They have. Was it 10 out of 11 now, I think? Oh. I've lost track. I didn't look it up. Look, Miami played them well, right? Like Miami could have won the game this past weekend, right? So for those kind of games, I try not to overblow it. The two games or three games they played a year ago, Miami won a close game. Miami lost a close game that came down to last second field goal. And then Miami had the ball late trying to drive with Skylar Thompson to win the playoff game. So look, in four of the last five games, they've been close. And Miami managed to win one of them. So, yeah, Buffalo has Miami's number. It's a bad matchup right now. And what makes it a bad matchup mainly is Josh Allen.
Yes.
He is just, I say he is the most difficult quarterback to defend on third down in the league because he will turn third and sevens into first downs. It's just maddening at times how he'll get away, he'll scramble. I mean, Mahomes has that in him too. I would just give Josh Allen that as a Dolphin fan that head nod of dude, you are a pain in the neck to try to take down.
See, he's exciting if you're an NFL fan because of what we've just been talking about. You don't know if he's going to run for first down, fumble the ball, throw an interception, throw it to his receivers. It's wild to watch. Let's talk about Tua then. You look at that second half, punt, 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 punt. You can just go on, punt, 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 and then interception. What happened to the offense in that second half?
You know, you're not able to sustain momentum when you have three and out situations. It's not that complicated. It's real easy for fans to go, wow, look how many yards they rushed for in the first half and then 3 yards in the second half. Well, when you don't get first downs, you don't get more plays to call running plays. You know, what happened in the second half is everyone to blame. Like, there's not one finger to point in one direction. You know, Tua had a pass to Tyreek that glanced off his hands. Like, it was a thread the needle over the top 20-yard throw he didn't bring down. He had that pass where it was a little underthrown. Tyreek scooped it. They called it a catch. They reviewed it, said it wasn't a catch. They had running plays that weren't able to gain, you know, more than a couple of yards, or took losses on. So it's just sort of a combination of several different things. You know, it's a lot of credit to Buffalo, you know, forcing three and outs in those spots. But yeah, it's not what you expect great offenses to do. You expect great offenses to generate first downs, to generate big plays. And Miami's had less big plays really since the Washington game. They've been kind of shorthanded on the big plays, and maybe that's where Mostert and Jalen Waddle, if they can get back, and they're not going to be 100%, but if they get back, maybe that helps them out this week a little bit. Because I think the other thing is, too, you see the drop-off in the receiver group where they're serviceable, but when Cedric Wilson's your two and Braxton Berrios is your three and Durham Smythe's your tight end, those guys have all helped this year. But when they're bumped up that ladder, it's not quite the same explosive offense. More attention gets paid to the running back. More attention gets paid to Tyreek Hill. So, like a lot of teams, right? Like, it's not unlike a lot of teams. So the injuries have hurt them in that way. And then even with the offensive line, they've had the second most offensive line combinations in the league this year. For comparison, they brought it up on Sunday night. Buffalo has had the same offensive line every game this season.
Oh, and on top of that, they're going to go play in 5-degree weather. So
right.
Good luck with that. That'll be fun. Before we get to that, you look at this season, Mike McDaniel, 2 years in, back-to-back playoff appearances. Tua leads the NFL in passing yards. Tyreek Hill, 1,700 yards. I mean, was this season a success, or does it have a bad taste in your mouth after what happened the last 2 weeks?
It was a wild success. For anyone to say anything else is living too much in the moment of disappointment with the Ravens' loss and the Bills' loss. This was an 11-win season. They've only done that once in the last 20 years. It was a season in which they had the number one offense in the league all the way up until the last week of the season where the 49ers passed them in scoring offense. They're the number one yardage offense in the league. They have the number one rushing attack in the league. Tua had led the league in passing yards this season. Tyreek Hill, you mentioned, led the league in receiving yards this season. It was wildly successful on so many levels. The Vic Fangio defense, like everyone said leading into the season, it takes you half a year to get used to what he's trying to preach. And just like that, halfway through the season, they started to play like a top five defense the rest of the way, even with some of their personnel being out. It's a shame all the injuries have happened. It's probably what's going to keep them from achieving what they, I think, hoped they could do and what I honestly thought they could do. And if you want the truth of truth in my heart, I thought they were going to be a Super Bowl team up until the point Bradley Chubb got hurt. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, already having lost Jalen Phillips, and now that they've lost Van Ginkle and Xavier Howard's not going to play. I think they're capable of winning this week, but of winning the whole thing, like if they win this week, unless the Steelers win, they're going to have to go to Baltimore the next week. And I don't feel great about that after what just happened a couple of weeks ago.
It's valid to say it. This is all I've been saying for weeks, like midway through the season, I'm like, this is a Super Bowl contender. I told you that. Now, I don't know if they could score 20 points on Saturday night. I don't know if I would bet that. I
think that's the thing. I think you hit it. And that's the way I'm kind of feeling going into this. The Chiefs' offense has struggled, but the Dolphins defensively might be down 6 starters. Mm. So can Miami hold them to 20? Well, they held them to 14 in Germany.
Yeah.
So let's say the Chiefs get 20. So now it's on the offense. So that's exactly what you just said, I think, is the truth here. If the Dolphins win for the first time probably since early in the season, I think it's more on the offense than it is the defense. I think the defense is going to be able to do some things, even shorthanded, in Kansas City not being great on offense here recently, minus Mahomes just being Superman. That the offense, if the offense can give you 3 touchdowns, maybe a couple of field goals, like if Miami scores 24, 27, 28, I think they got a great chance to win this game, but it's going to be on the running game. It's going to be on Mostert and Achane, and it's going to be on Tua and Waddle and Tyreek. If you're looking at anything as a Dolphins fan to be positive about, it's like, can you lean into the guys that are supposed to be your offensive stars that are actually available, and can they make the plays to put you over the top? I think that is a possibility for them this week.
All right, here's what I'm doing if I'm Kansas City. I'm Andy Reid. My defense is at home. I'm at home in horrible conditions. I am going to hit Tua. I am going to cheat early. I'm going to blitz. I'm going to screw this timing, and I'm going to rattle him and get him out of his zone early in this game. That's why I think the Dolphins' offensive line is the gigantic X factor. They've got to give Tua time, and they got to set up lanes for the run game. O-line's everything for me in this game. How about you?
Yeah, if you think back even to the game in Germany, the Dolphins got shut out in the first half. It was 21-0 at halftime. They ended up playing much better in the second half. They scored 14 points and then were driving late to try to win the game, and they had the bad snap, as you might recall, and, you know, kind of a disastrous end to the game there, where even if it was a good snap, he might have had, I think it was Wilson running toward the end zone. Anyway, long story short on that. But yes, Kansas City, great defense. They love the blitz. They did a lot of that. One thing that they did really effectively in that first half was they put the Dolphins in third and long.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of lost yardage plays for Miami in that game. A lot of negative four runs, you know, a sack. Like, in Miami, I want to say, I didn't look it up, Mark, but I think they were like 1 of 8 in the first half or 0 and 8. Like, it was really bad, and that's why they were shut out in the first half on third down. So for Miami, and it's been kind of a bugaboo for them this year, and I think it comes with the territory of being a wide-running team. They do have times where they'll have carries that it's not a negative one stop to the line of scrimmage. It's a negative four, negative five, because you're running wide, and if that end or that linebacker gets out there, a lot of times you're getting tackled for big losses. So I'm not saying call less of those plays, because clearly they're the number one rushing team in the league. They also break off a lot of 15, 20-plus yard runs doing that. But you have to kind of pick your spots maybe more, where if you're Tua, maybe you have some control over that at the line of scrimmage on when it's the best time to try to do that so that you can avoid some of those big losses, because I think that's where Kansas City, with their blitz and with them, you know, hitting in the backfield, the running backs, was really effective in the first matchup.
We heard Mike talk. Do you feel like Tyreek Hill, going back to Arrowhead with the history, does he have a bullseye where the defense is like, we got to shut this guy down?
He better.
I know.
He better. I just looked up. I think he had 62 yards, 6 for 62, I think it was. But, of course, what everyone, and I'm sure he'll remember, is the big fumble he had where he was stripped of the ball. It was brought back for a touchdown before halftime when Miami was driving. Yeah, like, it's the same thing on the other side, right? Like, the Dolphins put Jalen Ramsey on Travis Kelce for much of that game. That's why Kelce had such a bad game. I know Rashee Rice has improved, but I think I would still try to zero out with Kelce if I'm Miami, and then maybe just figure out, all right, how do we tackle Rashee Rice? Because that's where he's the most – he catches most of his passes within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, so you just have to bring him down. Of course, Kansas City, to answer that, you got to try to figure out Tyreek Hill and not give up the big play. And, you know, you see the way most teams try to play it with that, you know, cover two look, not getting over the top. The thing is with Hill, can you get him on the run, right? Miami, he hasn't had a whole lot of that here recently, as I'm really forced to think about it, right? He hasn't had opportunities to run after the catch as much as you would like if you're a Dolphins fan, which is why the big plays have been limited to some degree.
Okay, what would you do if you're Mike McDaniel? Would you leave now, get there for a couple days? Would you fly the day before? What would the game plan be with the weather?
I think you would handle it like any other road game, honestly. Here's the thing with the weather. It's going to be cold, like really cold. The winds aren't even that bad. I was reading 15 to 20. That's not terrible. Like windy is like 30 miles, 40 miles per hour. Like, that's where you're getting up there with, like, this is a problem. Like, bad days off the lake in Cleveland or in Chicago where you have that kind of a wind. I don't think the weather is going to be that big of an issue. I realize the Dolphins' record historically is what it is, but I was telling you last night when we were doing television, like, Miami played two games in Buffalo last year. One of them was snowing, and they played pretty well offensively in both of those games. Like, I don't think the weather is going to be that big of an issue. Believe me, the Chiefs and their fans are going to be cold, too. 0 degrees is cold. So if it's not windy, it's not precipitation, I really don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
You know, if they could have just won some games down the stretch, home field would have gone through South Florida, okay? We wouldn't have these conversations.
No, you're right. And look, I mean this when I say this. Like, I told you this last night. I might even said it even before the game last week. When Jacksonville lost, it threw off what would have been the perfect sort of runway for the Dolphins to get past all these injuries and maybe get to the Super Bowl. And that would have been Pittsburgh at home if they had beaten Buffalo. They would have gotten Pittsburgh at home in a 2-7. They would have hosted Kansas City the next week. And then they would have had to maybe go to Baltimore, all right? So you take your chances in the AFC title game at that point. But once Jacksonville lost, it was going to have to be, even if they were at home, rematch with Buffalo and then Kansas City at home and then, you know, Baltimore after that. So, like, you saw how close the game was against Buffalo, and you talked about their mastery over the Dolphins. So would it have been easy to play Buffalo again this week? Of course not. So I almost look at it as a wash. Like, all right, you're going to have to beat those three teams to get to the Super Bowl either way.
I can't remember a time where a team loses, gets eliminated, and then two teams make the playoffs with what the Jaguars did. I've never seen that before. Yeah. Have you? It was weird.
It probably has happened, but that threw a monkey wrench in a few things for a few people. Because even the other scenario that would have been great about it as a Dolphins fan is Buffalo would have been the sixth seed. Buffalo would have been eliminated, right? Like, so yeah. Buffalo would have been out of the mix altogether had Jacksonville won. But again, it's going to be tough. Right. Like, that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, yes, if they would have beaten Tennessee a few weeks ago, then they would have been hosting Buffalo this week if Buffalo just wins the game this past weekend. I don't know how the game would have played out with both teams not needing it, but you're just playing Buffalo again in another tough game. So
I can't believe I'm going to say this to you, Mike Tuck. Thank God they beat the Cowboys in December. Thank God. Okay.
That was big, obviously. But, you know, and as I joked with, I was with a few of my work colleagues at the Dan Patrick School. We gathered last week and someone made a comment about, you know, again, God, I can't wait almost for next season. So we stopped talking about the Dolphins' record against teams with winning records versus losing records. I said, man, when we beat Dallas, I thought we were going to get two wins for that. It doesn't work that way because everyone keeps telling me how important it is. And what I found out is you get a win even if the team's bad. You don't get bonus points for beating a good team. So it is what it is. That's the schedule they played. They beat a bunch of teams that were bad this year. So be it.
Let's end with this. All right, so what's the game plan to watch the game? Are you going to be alone? Is your family invited? What's happening?
So my oldest son isn't quite there sitting down and watching a game. He'll watch plays. He'll show some interest and ask a couple of questions, but he's seven. He's not quite there yet with it. So, yes, I will be, and I have Peacock, had Peacock, not a big deal. I know that's a big deal for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
Guess what? Splurge, spend the money, get Peacock, or go to a sports bar, do whatever you have to do. I'll be watching it by myself. It's not quite last year. Last year I felt like, not who cares, but like, we're starting Skylar Thompson at Buffalo. We're not going to win. And you know what? They got a defensive touchdown. Jalen Phillips scored. Like, all of a sudden, like, some things are breaking their way. So this isn't quite like nothing to lose, but in some ways it's like no one expects us to get to the Super Bowl now. In fact, I haven't even seen anyone think they can win this week in just looking around. So you know what? Lay it all out there. Go out there. Do your best. You're taking on a Kansas City team that I think is fallible. All you can do is try to win the game. If they win the game, all right, now next week you're either going to Baltimore or to, I guess it would be Houston or Cleveland. So, like, so be it. Let's just see what happens.
You're so full of it. You're going to be sitting there by yourself screaming at the TV on every play. And I respect that.
Okay, I'm really not. I know this. A lot of sports fans just lose their mind at everything. The only time I ever like really raise my voice to the TV is if like there's a blatantly bad call. Yeah. And I mean like, oh my God, like they didn't call a, you know, personal foul on that, or they called interference on that, seriously, like things like that occasionally. Let me give you one other nugget. Okay.
What?
I want to give you one more positive spin that has nothing to do with this season if you're a Dolphins fan, okay?
What?
They lost to Buffalo, which means they were the number two team in their division, which means Buffalo gets the first place schedule next year, which means Buffalo gets to play Baltimore, Buffalo gets to play Kansas City, and Buffalo gets to play, who's the other team? It was Detroit. The Dolphins, because they finished second, they get to play Cleveland, they get to play Green Bay, and they get to play the Raiders.
You are fantastic. You know that? You're just, this is I can't wait to recap the game with you next week. His name is Mike Tuck. My man, thank you so much for your help, and good luck to your Dolphins this Saturday.
I appreciate it. Fins up, baby.